I want to talk to you tonight. You know how I like to do things. I like to talk to you on Wednesday night about something that you can use naturally and spiritually. And I want to talk to you tonight about taking the high road. You ever heard that? Anybody say, take the high road? You know, there's a lot of these statements like that, and you wonder where they come from, you know. Like raining cats and dogs. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Anybody ever look up where that come from? I think that my brother-in-law sent her a bunch of deals here, and it was that the cats and dogs, I think, would get up on in the thatch roof, and so when it would be raining, of course, they would come out. So that's where they said it come from. I don't know. But this phrase, taking the high road, according to the internet, is actually traced back to an old Scottish folk song. One of the lines in the lyrics said, you take the high road, I'll take the low road. That represented two people going two different directions. Now today, when we usually use that phrase, it's usually referring to moral or ethical way of doing something, even when others don't. As Christians, we're called to take the high road when we go through life. My dad always told me, take the high road, son. He said, don't ever go down to somebody else's level. You take the high road. You know, even when somebody treats you unfairly, take the high road. Even if it costs you money, take the high road. Even when you could actually be okay, maybe, if you do it something other way, but don't, take the high road. Even if it's unpopular, take the high road. Even if you have to do it all by yourself, take the high road. Now, St. Augustine said this, and of course, this is attributed to him, right is right even if no one is doing it. Wrong is wrong even if everyone is doing it. That's a pretty good statement. It's not hard to take the high road as long as everybody else is. But then it becomes a different story when everybody else doesn't take the high road and you got to take it yourself. It's easy to take the high road until somebody treats you wrong. Boy, I'm not getting old. I'm not getting any feedback at all tonight. Let's listen to what Jesus said in John 13, 34 through 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. I'm reading at the NLT. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Notice that Jesus said for us to love each other just as I have loved you. Now, you know, as you think about this for a minute, Peter was pretty outspoken. Now, John, he was quiet. He didn't say a whole lot. But Peter was very outgoing. And, you know, can you imagine with Jesus saying this and then Peter said, what are you talking about? There's no way we can do that. But how did Jesus walk in love? Well, we all know it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Jesus loved the whole world, not just those that acted right. Not just those that were lovely, but those that were unlovely. He loved not just the righteous, but also the unrighteous. He just didn't love those people that's doing right, but he also loved those that are doing wrong. He just didn't love the innocent, he loved the guilty too. It wasn't just the good people, but the worst of the worst that he loved. He loved everybody. So our challenge is to walk in love like he did. You know, we must remember God does not tell us to do something without us being able to do it. God will help you to walk the high road. As you walk the high road, you have to depend upon him, because if you'd follow your own, what you want to do, you'd take the low road and knock the fire out of somebody. About like Billy would, right? That's Billy Do-Good there. He and I go back a long way. When he was in school, we was playing ball together. But, you know, and he has a personality sort of like mine, just, you know, just don't take nothing off of nobody. But sometimes you got to walk away. You just got to walk away. If you don't, you're going to go on the low road and get yourself in trouble and not do what God. We need, he can help us. Depend on him. You know, and you've heard me say it many times. My dad used to tell me, a fellow I'm named after, Kenneth E. Hagin. He would say, son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. You know, that's helped me in all kinds of situations. Evaluating things to do and do what was right, even when I felt like doing something else. It helped me to take the high road, even when it cost me. One time it cost me some money, but I still took the high road because I told a man I would help him with the project. And when I found out before he came and said he needed the money, that everybody that invested with him lost everything, but he didn't lose nothing. And when he came, I gave him the money. I did. You can ask my wife, she'll tell you. She didn't think I ought to do it, but I did, because that's taking the high road. You know, you got to take the high road even if you have to stand alone. Hello? You know, sooner or later, everybody going to be faced with the choice, taking the low road or taking the high road. You know, taking the high road may cost you in the immediate, but I'll tell you what, it will pay off in the long run. You know, the good news is God's always on the high road, never on the low road. Now, I want to just talk about this about three times when we should probably take the high road. We're to respond correctly to those who do us wrong. Okay, Matthew 5:44. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. However, I say to you, love your enemy, bless the ones who curse you, do something wonderful for those who hate you, respond to the very ones who persecute you by praying for them. Now there, Jesus is telling us the actions to take right there. Now, you know, some people, they do everything under their power to avoid conflict, and others never prepare themselves properly to get into, when they get in these situations. The question is not if you're going to find sometimes when somebody's going to do you wrong. The question is when. Hello. Is there anybody here that nobody has never disappointed them and never done something wrong? We all have had people talk about us. We've all had people reject us. Sometimes just because they didn't like our looks. You know, I had a man tell me, of course, I tell you this all the time, but he didn't like the way I preached. And I told him that's his problem, not mine. you know, in fact, sooner or later, somebody is going to do something wrong or unfairly towards you. So we need to be ready for that. You ever seen somebody that's been devastated because somebody did them wrong? And later, when you ask them if they ever thought this might happen, they say, well, I saw some signs that it could possibly be, but I never dreamed they would actually do this to me. Now, the point that I want you to get a hold of here is this person saw some indicators, but they never did anything to prepare for it. Okay? Now, how many of you do preventive maintenance on your vehicle? You're preparing so that you don't have a catastrophe, right? You know, years and years ago, there was a young man coming to Rhema years ago, back in the late 70s, 78, 77, somewhere around that. He was walking from Garnett over there, and he started walking because his car quit running. He said it just, all of a sudden, it just froze up and quit running. And so, you know, we started asking him some questions, and somebody said, "What, have you put any oil in it? Have you changed the oil?" He said, "What are you talking about? The thing didn't have any oil in it, and the motor seized." He didn't prepare because he didn't know what to do. See, when you are prepared for somebody to do something wrong, you've already decided what you're going to do before it ever happens. Now, some people say, well, I'll just do nothing. Well, that's not what Jesus said to do. He said that there's some action that we should do. You know, if you're on the offensive, if you go on the defensive, you let them determine what actions will happen. But if you're on the offense, you're already prepared. Now, Jesus didn't tell us to be a pushover. But he did instruct us to respond a certain way. And this will help us spiritually, and it also will help us in the natural with our emotions. And it will keep us out of unforgiveness. Now, that's another subject I preach on sometimes, but more people are not getting answers to their prayer because they're harboring unforgiveness against somebody. Doing what Jesus said keeps us from getting bitter and holding unforgiveness. Now let's go back and review what he said to do. I say to you, love your enemy. Oh. Bless the one who cursed you. Oh. Do something wonderful to the one that hates you. Oh. Respond to the very one who persecutes you by praying for them. I don't want to pray for them. This is what Jesus said to do in order to walk in love. Hello. Now, when we respond good for evil. Romans 12, 17, 18. NLT. Y'all awful quiet tonight. I hope I'm helping somebody. Maybe you're quiet because you're listening. Maybe that's a good sign. Okay, I'm going to take that. Okay. See, already I'm going to take a high road. Now listen to this. NLT, I'm reading NLT. Never pay back evil with more evil. In other words, never pay back evil by getting even. Don't do things in such a way that everyone can do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everybody or everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, saith the Lord. Now, Christians, we're called to walk to a different drumbeat. Now, where did that, you know, if you've ever marched, I mean, when I was in, went to basic training, the Army right up here at Fort Leonard, Missouri, when we were marching, there's no boy had a drum, and he was beating on that drum, and we were supposed to march to the beat of that drum. Any of you ever been in high school marching band? I see any hands, anybody? as you're marching in one of the drummers, or the drum, when the drummer's playing, let me see your hand if I'm right. I never was in the band. I was always on the ball field playing. But that's where that comes from. That's where that statement comes from. And as Christians, we have a different drumbeat than what the world has. We live in a different set of values. And we demonstrate that set of values coming from the Word of God. You know, we should see people like God does and not like they see them. Too often the world sees people as disposable. Yet Jesus said, died for mankind, and it said in 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish. You know, we can't take revenge on somebody who treats us wrong without hurting ourselves. Now, some of this that I'm talking about, I learned it myself from watching my dad. The way he lived. You know, one guy always said, I always get even, you know. And probably this is another statement. People say, you know, if somebody does somebody wrong, and they say, well, every dog has its day. Anybody ever heard that? That means sometime, somewhere, I'm going to pay him back. That's not walking in love. Hello. You know, too many people take stuff and try to take it in their own hands. No, just do what God said do and go on down the road. You know, you can get yourself emotionally all messed up because you respond in the natural and not in the spiritual. If your actions are honorable, they'll be in line with the Word of God. You know, I've seen Christians. I've been in this all my life. I was born one Sunday, as y'all all know, and I was in my dad's church the next Sunday, and then I grew up there, and then I went into the ministry myself when I was 18. That's 67 years ago. But I've seen a lot of it happen. And I've seen some Christian ministers. I've seen ministers that somebody did them wrong. They got in conflict. Now, Dad and I were talked about this about one time about one minister. And actually, somebody that had been on his staff went and started another church in town. And it took a bunch of the members. And it so bothered him, he talked about it every Sunday until people started leaving the church and going over to the other church because they's tired of hearing about it. And he killed his own self because he just couldn't get over what this person done to him. I've had it happen to me. And I don't even worry about it. Hey, all right. Come on now. Somebody said, well, how can you be that way? I can be that way because I'm not going to let anything that anybody says or does keep me from staying in the will of God and getting the promises of God that belong to me. Somebody asked me one time, see, you know, have you ever read on the internet what they say about the Hagans? I said, no, I'm not going to. I said, half of it, they've taken what we've said and twisted it anyway. I said, I don't care. You mean you don't care? No, I don't care because I don't have to answer to them. And you don't either. You got to answer to God. That's the one we got to please. I don't have to please anybody else. Come on now. You don't either. We've got to live in line with what the Word of God says and please Him. That's all that counts. Hello. You know, I've watched people that never seem to get over something that somebody did to them or said to them. And every time you see them, they want to talk about it. And I've noticed that they never receive the blessings that they should receive. And I've seen many of them that even get out of church and even get out of walking with God. Just walk away. Hello, you still there? You're going home. Now, we're to walk in love when others don't. Now, of course, you know where I'm going right now. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm gonna eventually read the whole thing, but right now I'm going to just go to 4 and 5 in LT. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of wrongdoing. If you keep no record of wrongdoing, then you won't be talking about it every time you see that person. It's not irritable, keeps no record of being wronged. There it says. I've had people that have done me wrong. And they've come back to some of the meetings, like a winter Bible seminar or a camp meeting or something, and they come down front and shake my hand, and people have noticed that I would embrace them and praise the Lord, God bless you. And I had one pastor, after he saw me do that, he pulled me aside. He said, "How can you do that?" I said, "What are you talking about?" "Well, after what they did." I said, "Oh, did they do something?" He said, "You know they do." I said, "Yeah, I know that, but I choose to forget it, and I choose to walk the high road." Come on now. You know, is it easy? No. Because my flesh and I'm built that way. Nobody's going to take advantage of me. But that's my old human nature. And sometimes I have to put it down. You know, it's easy to walk in love until somebody does you wrong. Right here at this very church, 2003, we have my dad's memorial service right here. And everybody that got up and talked about his love walk. They didn't talk about his faith or any of that, although that's what he was known for, probably more than that. But he practiced walking in love. You know, even when others didn't. I've been with him when a very recognized person that has spoken very critical of him came up at a convention we were at, took out his hand, my dad shook his hand, said, "Man, how are you doing, man? Are you doing all right? Everything been going okay?" And not one time did I ever see him retaliate against any of them or try to get even. He had taught me, he'd say, "Listen, forgive and forget and walk in love." And that's what I try to do. You know, how do we respond? It's very simple. The Word of God lays it right out on us. And I'm going to go now to 1 Corinthians 13, 4. I'm going to read in the Old Amplified Classic. The first thing that we have to do is found in verse 4. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglorious. Love does not display itself haughtily. Now, secondly, this is what love does. Love is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. Love is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it's not self-seeking. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Now, these are things that we can take in regular life. We can take in our married life. Now, the third thing, in verse 6, it says, it does not rejoice in injustice or unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Then the fourth thing love is supposed to do. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Love's hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Love endures everything without weakening. All right, the fifth thing. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. I read that in the fourth thing that love does, breaking this down into five different things. Love is ever ready to believe the best about every person. Now, I remember one time that a person came up and asked my dad about a certain person because they knew that he had had dealings with him, this person, is another minister. And Dad, he didn't say anything bad about the guy at all. And I never forget this. Mother turned to him, my mom. She said, Kenneth, why didn't you tell him? He said, well, no, wait a minute. Oretha, that's my mom's name. He said, I don't want to do anything that might hurt him. You don't ever know. He may have repented and changed. That's the way he thought. That's the way he lived. That's the way he operated. You know, we need to realize that we live in a world that you're going to have people treat you unfairly, say things about you. Anybody here ever had anybody say anything about them? I have. Well, most of the congregation have had that. Some of you didn't. Well, you just wait. Somebody will say something. And it's the way we respond is what will determine our destinies and where and what comes out of it all. Now, in closing, because I got 2 minutes, hour of power. If I go over a little bit, it'll be all right. A guy by the name of Kent M. Keith, he was an American author and leader in education. In 1968, he wrote this, it's called Away, the Paradoxical Commandments. And I thought it was pretty good. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you see, that's commandment number one. Number two, he wrote these commandments. Number two, if you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you'll win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. Number four, the good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Number five, honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. Number six, the biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs, but only follow top dogs. Fight for the few underdogs anyway. Number eight, what you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. Number nine, people really need help, but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. I've been there, done that. Number 10, give the world the best you have. You'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. What this man is saying is good advice, and it will help us to stay on the high road. You know, as you face challenges, stay on the high road. Don't go down there. Taking the high road will position you to receive God's best. It'll also cause you to grow spiritually. With the help of God, you can walk the high road. I didn't say it'd be easy. I didn't even say it'd be fun. Been there, done that, and I found it out. But I want to end with these three things. Take the high road. Know what the Word of God says about taking the high road. Use your faith to take the high road. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to stay on the high road. Let me give this little exhortation here. As you go your way through this world that is filled with wrong, choose the way the Word tells you to go, for the road will help you to rise above the situations of life, experience the goodness of God, and enjoy true freedom. Heavenly Father, I just talked to these people tonight about some things that will help us in our natural and the spiritual lives. I pray that they will take to heart the things that were said. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can stand. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I really enjoyed putting it together. I trust that you enjoyed it because I believe it will help you in your walk with God. And I had a great example in my father, and my wife will tell you that that's the way he was, and he's just that way, and I try to be that way, but you know, you have to realize that sometimes and let me say this, if you mess up and you happen to get on the low road, ask God to forgive you and jump back on the high road as quick as you can, okay? Praise the Lord. Hey, if you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve Him, but you've just taken a detour and got off course and you need to rededicate your life to God, the ladies are here, the men are over here. As we're dismissed, if you'll come down here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, the Holy Spirit, anything, you want somebody to pray with you, come down here and these prayer partners will pray with you and things will change for you, because the Word of God says, ask and you shall receive. Amen. Hey, Sunday morning right here. Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to walk the high road. How about you? God bless. See you Sunday right here.